All right, here we go. All right, welcome back to the championship week edition, Mountain West Connection Basketball. MWCConnection.com is where we do some hoop stuff, so look out for that. Jeremy here, as always, with Eli Bedker talking brackets and basketball and shirtless musclemen.
Man, that was crazy. He was running around for maybe 5-10 minutes after the game. Was it something like that? Maybe longer?
I didn't see it live because I had it on ESPN3 here when I was working, so I didn't see it all, but I just saw on Twitter. I'm like, what is this? And I see, like, what if you guys put – I found something on there. If you guys post, I see Tyler Bischoff. He does stuff for there. And UNLV used to do some things for us. Was at the game and had some photos. So I saw a few things. I saw a video running around, took like a screenshot or something. I forget exactly. I found a few things, but he's a small dude.
He's passionate though, and that's fun. He's a good guy.
So let's start with that game really quick, the championship game, because that's the only game that really mattered. I guess San Diego State, New Mexico mattered for a bye, which is a big deal for one, fewer games you're playing. And with the Lobos winning, that's going to be huge for them this week if they want to advance or if they can't advance beyond however many games they play. But this game, it was Colorado State. They're, like we mentioned, like people finally started figuring out during the game, as we sort of did during the last show, about, yeah, well, CSU plays, what, 7 guys? Nevada's bench is probably plays as few minutes or fewer because this – okay, I'm looking at the box score now. Is this correct? Nevada played – it says they played 3 players off the bench, but only one had minutes. Did that mean they played fewer than minutes? Because I thought if you get into a game, it's a minute regardless.
I think that's what I thought too, but I guess if – are you looking on the KenPom box score?
No, I'm on ESPN. Should I look somewhere else?
That's okay. It says the same for KenPom. It says Ramsey and King both had 0 minutes and Hall had 19. But regardless, that's crazy how Nevada played less or fewer bench minutes than CSU did.
Yeah, because they had Oliver, Caroline, and Marshall go 40. And then – yeah, Oliver, he had the windmill dunk on the breakaway, which is gutsy, and he made it, clearly. And that issue I have with stupid ESPN3, I'm like, I'm waiting for the replay, going to do a little video of it. They never showed the replay once online. Never. Not from what I saw. And I kept waiting. Okay, there's free throws. They'll show it in between. There's a timeout, the rejoin, nothing. So I had to find it from Chris Murray of the Reno Gazette, who took a video of it on the Jumbotron. But luckily, it's also slow motion, which made it look even better.
That's true.
But he had a monster game, 29-17, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And this game was pretty close, but Nevada just pulled away in second half because they outscored him by 15. And there was a stretch, I think, about 8 or 9 minutes where the Rams just couldn't hit anything. Because, like, how do you have a – here's the thing that's tough with CSU. If they go on a cold stretch, they have nobody to – okay, go on the bench, give us a spark. Because they had a starter, who was it, Nick Carvecho, 0 points. They had a guy off the bench, 12 minutes, 0 points.
And so much reliance on Gian Clavell. You see, he took 22 shots, and he played really well, 33 points, but no secondary score, really. I guess Amagbo finished 5 for 11 from the field, but that's a problem that CSU runs to, and they can rely so heavily on Clavell because he's such an elite scorer. But like we've seen with so many other teams in this conference, you need to have a good number 2 and even a number 3 at times.
Yeah, going 10 of 25, that's good enough for 3-point, but when they're 38%, like, even Clavell, just under 50, but he made up for it for 6 of 11 threes. And then, but as Nixon there, it was kind of hurt them on that side. But they had a big stretch to no points. That's an issue. If they go cold, there's nobody to get a break, nobody hop in to provide a spark. So yeah, Kolker a little bit. He had 8 points, which is fine off the bench, but he also had 4 fouls. They had 3 players with 4 fouls in the game, and they just, Nevada just took it over the defense they played. Like, Nevada had 3 steals, 5 blocks. Turnovers were pretty good, 9-7. Rams had 2 more, but they got out rebound because look what Oliver did. He had half the rebounds, essentially, or a third of them. Him and Caroline had all but, what, 8 rebounds, it looks like, 10 rebounds? Jeez.
And I wrote about this in my article this morning. Colorado State's defense is exceptional for the most part, but the key for them, I want to say it's keeping opponents under 77 points. When they allow more than 77, I believe they're 0-5 or 0-6 this year. And they allowed 85 against Nevada. So that seems to be their benchmark. If they're able to hold teams in reasonable range, they should win, and they weren't able to do that against Nevada. And it's tough against the Wolfpack because they can fill it up so fast. They have 3-point shooters, at least 3 or 4 guys that can hit from deep at all times. So that makes it especially difficult to defend.
And if they go on that, like the spurt they did. But okay, so let's get to some more. So Nevada got the 1 seed. CSU the 2 seed. We'll get to the bracket stuff in a minute, but we did a Player of the Year awards, and well, not us, but from the league. I went with Cam Oliver. I think you did as well last week, right?
I went with Marcus Marshall. I thought he was.
Oh, I must have got that tweet wrong.
The most deserving, like, but it wasn't surprised.
No, yeah, because they even put Vardy's pretty close. Like, I don't know. I just thought Oliver is just what he can do. Maybe it's his highlights. Like, hey, watching him, but Brandon Clark, San Jose State, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really talented player. I thought I don't have the first and second team ahead of me right now, but Chandler Hutchison, a lot of people were mentioning his name as being one of the key snubs this year. He was, I think, the only player in the conference that finished in the top 10 in points, rebounds, assists, and maybe steals. And he was fantastic this year. So that's one notable name that was left off the first team.
Yeah, he was the first, because he went by points, he was the first player on the, he has the sixth most points. So he was the first player on that second team.
Okay.
And like, you guys got Jalen Moore on their second team. You had what? Nevada had what? Three, almost your starting lineup. Utah State had a couple, despite them being terrible this year. And then, should we give a round of applause to UNLV for Jovan Mooring? You got one player on there, got something?
You got to have someone on there, right?
He beat Air Force in something this year.
He wasn't too bad this year. The shooting percentages were a little bit low, but he helped keep UNLV afloat, I guess.
I guess Wyoming,
if you want to call it that.
I guess Wyoming, nobody on there either, but there's kind of a team, more of a team thing than one huge guy like Larry Nance or Josh Adams. So,
yeah.
And then, okay, here's what we got real quick. Like, player of the year, coach of the year, all that stuff. So, really, should it be Eustachy? I forget. Who did we say? But did we say? I think we both said Eustachy, right?
I went with Musselman. I think you went with Eustachy. I went with Musselman. And I also mentioned Wojcik, but I didn't think that he had that much of a chance just because San Jose State finished pretty deep in the standings. But, yeah, you're right. You went with Eustachy, and he got 8 of the votes, 8 of the 11.
I think part of it, they were predicted 7th, got 2nd. Nevada was, what, 4th, I think we said, top half at least. And they won, which is not surprising. But then you got, like, we were correct, unanimous. The only unanimous selection on anything was you were spot on with this, Kobe McEwen, not McElwain, McEwen? McEwen? Yeah. I haven't seen too many Utah State games this year. Kobe from the Aggies, unanimous freshman, then obviously Oliver player of the year defensively, and then, yeah, Justin James. So that's kind of where they're at. I think the only real issues maybe you could see, like Hutchinson, maybe I like Eli Brown a lot, but he's inconsistent and needs a million shots like Allen Iverson to get his points, him and Tim Williams to get there. I think Jalen Moore is probably one of the most talented players in the league, but the team not being great and him up and down because he has to do what he does for Utah State. He's probably, I think he'd be a top five, like talent wise, like if you look going forward, like NBA or whatever, or just how good he is, but you have to do something with your team as well if you're that good. And the Aggies are, they could be interesting in the tournament, I think. Maybe win a game. Maybe two if something goes weird.
It's possible. I think overall the awards and accolades this year were justified, and only Hutchison possibly, but when you match him up against Oliver and Clark and Amagwa, those guys did some awesome things this year, so I don't have a problem with it.
And that's what's weird with league. Like you said last time, who's going to be in the NBA? Marcus Marshall will be in the NBA. Cameron Oliver, Jalen Moore will get a shot. Probably Eli Brown, even Tim Williams. All these guys, probably maybe Kobe McElwain down the road, Trey Kell could. There could be, like I said, maybe double-digit guys playing pro hoops from this league this year, at minimum probably half in the NBA at least, and then this league does nothing.
Yeah, it's such a talented league. It's just too bad with the non-conference schedules and what's going on in conference play, but that's just how it is. Hopefully they'll rebound next year.
Let me ask you about this real quick. Wichita State, how come, what's going on? Why isn't Craig Thompson on the phone? What's he doing?
I don't know. I read your piece just the other day, and I'm thinking the same thing. It would just make perfect sense. You'd bring the conference to 12 teams, and you get a Gonzaga-like team that could come in and compete for NCAA tournaments every year. It'd be great exposure for the conference, but I guess it's that football deal, huh?
That's the thing. I guess the main thing, I know Hawaii's the exception, but it's like, I think they, if you want to be a full member, I guess they technically want football. Men's and women's volleyball, football, men's and women's basketball, and I think women's volleyball, which they have everything, plus baseball too. Baseball is sort of a big deal. They're pretty good at baseball. Bring them as well, add another team. That might allow Boise State to bring their team from club or other club teams that are pretty good. Like, I think CSU is a pretty good club baseball team that's like won the club national title. I could be wrong on that, but there's some club teams that could maybe upgrade if you get another team in the conference. But it's the football thing because he's stubborn, and getting to 12 is nice for scheduling purposes, tournament stuff. You'll still probably have an unbalanced schedule perhaps, but you'd probably play, it just wouldn't be as weird as it is. But they're like, okay, Wichita State, if they were to come to the Mountain West, they wouldn't come over and be 31-0 going to the Final Four, but they would be minimum 25, 28 wins. Probably, if they were coming next year, they'd have the best coach, in my opinion, and probably the best team. Like, they'd be the favorite nearly every year going forward, and that would give the league at least two, can't assume, but most likely two bids every year to tournament, because the league's getting, in the past, they had that 1 year of five, which was nuts, but they're normally getting two or three, but it's football. And I get they're probably not going to add football because they did their feasibility study and like, well, it's expensive to bring it back and they're kind of out there, take them forever to move up. And I get, but the money's not going to be a big deal either. They're not going to be a huge increase, maybe a couple thousand, you know what I mean, maybe five-figure increase on the deal or something. Maybe get a few more games on TV. There could be maybe a small six-figure increase for the whole league. So the money incentive isn't there. I guess maybe they don't want to travel for volleyball or baseball out there. I don't know what the deal is. I know it's football, but you get the NCAA tournament credits by bringing them in. You can get more home NIT games if they're in as well for maybe another spot or two for that. It just makes so much sense. And then the American, you know what it is, because UConn's actively looking to leave and head back to the Big East. And that's probably because they're also sitting at 11 teams in basketball because Navy's not part of their league for hoops. And so that would get them to 12, but assuming they want a replacement for UConn because they want Big East and probably independent football or MAC football.
I think from Wichita's perspective, if they're going to make the leap, I'm sure they feel like they're a team that is ready to, like you said, maybe go to the American, maybe the Big East, but most likely a power conference just because of the success they've had on the basketball court the last few years under Greg Marshall. But from Mountain West perspective, it makes perfect sense. This is another team that could add another dimension to the conference and rebolster a league that's having a ton of issues right now. I was going to ask you, since you're a football guy, do you think that the state of Mountain West football or basketball is better right now?
It's got to be football, and people say that's down because they didn't go to a big full-time bowl game in 2 years. Their champs always give me contention for the almost every year, but it's right now it's football. In the past, it's pretty even before because when they got five teams in, that's like I think that's obviously a record. But right now it's football just because they had three or four teams win double digit games last year. They're not going to. And Aztecs won 11-2, or they won the conference back to back 11 win seasons last year and this year or the previous 2 years. It's basketball. It's football now just because you have a bigger. UNLV is terrible and they're the big brand. Boise State is won 10 games, didn't win the division or anything in football, but they're still the brand name. If you go by that, I would say football. Just because it's pretty top heavy for the most part, but teams are getting better. Like Wyoming, they went to the conference title game. New Mexico, two bowl games in a row. Hawaii won a bowl game first time, I think, in nearly almost 7-8 years or so. But basketball, I think, has more potential just because there's more spots to be on the big stage for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that we're catching Mountain West basketball at a tough time right now. I mean, the teams that are the blue bloods of this conference with San Diego State and New Mexico and UNLV. The teams that in the early 2010s, those are the teams that were racking up all the bids. And for the most part, they're rebuilding right now. And you know, Steve Fish is probably gone within a year or two, if not sooner.
Yeah, he said, I think yesterday, he's still not sure about next year at the moment.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he might not be back, but that's just pure speculation. But I think just as a whole, when you're a mid-major conference and your team that is consistently getting into the tournament is struggling, in this case UNLV, New Mexico, Boise, that just completely brings the strength of the conference down. So, and I just think it's temporary too. As long as the league is able to bring in at least some decent opponents in non-conference, and it stresses so much, but it's really what the committee goes by.
Top 50. You got to have top 50, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as UNLV and New Mexico can rebound, and I think they will,
the conference should be fine long term. San Jose getting better, CSU should be getting better. Boise's improved quite a bit the past 5 years. And Wyoming, we'll see what they are. They lost NBA player in Adams, who's hopefully has recovered well enough to get a pro contract again from that car accident. But with the teams rising up from the bottom, like Utah State's one of the teams people kind of expected to be pretty good. Like with Stu Morrill's there, he had I forget how long the record was, a 20 plus wins. But going to the Big West, to the WAC, to the Mountain West within 12 years or so is tough. But I think UNLV should be back. And we'll talk about more probably another show with Nevada if Musselman stays around or how long, because he's losing. Cameron Oliver mentioned yesterday, he's like, I'm not going to say if this is my last game at home or not. And we know he tested the waters last year for NBA. I'm assuming at the very least he's going to do that exact same thing. But he's probably gone, so Nevada will take a step back. And Musselman, he's brought in a ton of talent from transfers and recruiting. And we'll just see. We'll talk about this stuff later. We'll have some offseason basketball every now and then to keep everybody's who likes hoops year-round. Maybe they'll do some recruiting or do some random coaching tournament stuff. But let's get to the actual tournament, because I think maybe that's why people tuned in, hopefully, or something. Darius ramble about Wichita State. Wait, they mentioned the F-word, football. Come on, this is not football. Basketball.
You never know what could happen.
Well, Wichita State thing's a big deal. And one last thing on that. Here's probably the reason they'd rather go there than the Mountain West. They get on CBS a little bit more, so there's a little bit more TV exposure, not CBS network as often. But Butler and Creighton both are, they're second and third in that conference. They both came from smaller leagues. Weren't they, crap, where was Butler from? Horizon League, right? Like way down
they
there.
They went to Horizon and then they...
The Big East. Or were they in the Missouri Valley for like a second?
I want to say they were in A-10 for a second.
Oh, maybe it's A-10. I know Creighton was in A-10. Or no, excuse me.
It was just 1 year, though. I don't remember it that well.
And then if you think about it, even DePaul at the bottom, they're at CUSA. And so Xavier, were they in CUSA? Marquette was. So there's some teams in there. But the top two, three of the top teams after Villanova were formerly in like Missouri Valley or even lower in Horizon. So, and we could discuss Gonzaga, the Mountain West, but I don't think they have a reason to join in. They should try because, again, baseball would be a big deal because they've won the West Coast Conference last 2 years, I want to say, in baseball. But not that that matters too much, but they're closer in travel. Seattle's in the area. People love hoops there, and that would be if they could attempt to do that and forget the football requirement, that's probably the team you could go after because that's the only league. Pac-12 is not inviting them anytime soon, but I think they're doing fine as it is, but that's just probably a pipe dream if something's going to happen. And with them keep getting number one seeds, what's the point? Why go to a tougher league where maybe a three seed instead and lose six games a year instead of losing maybe three?
True. Yeah, that's true.
All right, tournament, Wednesday. If you're listening to this, I'll get this up as soon as I can Tuesday afternoon, evening, so check your feed on Block Talk Radio, your RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher, all that fun places. So the games this weekend, or not this week, sorry. There's some late games, so if you're out on the Eastern, even in the mountain time zone, there's one game that tips at about 9:30 p.m.
That's perfect for me. I don't mind that at all.
You're 1 hour earlier, but that's just like, really? That's not that I complain it's early, but it's just like, if you're watching, if it's a decent game, like they get buried a little bit, partly because, yeah, CBS Network, but just freaking late game. So here's what we have going on right now. The first game, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to stream these games on Wednesday. They're all on the Mountain West Network, but they're allowing embed code, so check our site. You can watch it there. So if you're at work and whatever, and you can just kind of tune in on mute or headphones and watch in the small corner or something, Utah State, San Jose State. This, we're not going to break down every game in super great detail, but how many points are going to be scored in this game? What's the over-under? Should we look that up real quick? Because this could be a lot of points with Clark and Jalen Moore going at it.
I don't have it ahead of me right now.
So who do you think? What would your quick take on that? Like who would you? I think Utah State has the potential to win because Spartans on the road aren't really the best team. They struggle when they're not at home. Right now, Aggies are a 4-point favorite, no over-under set, but Spartans have also lost four in a row.
That's the thing, because we've seen the good from San Jose State when they had that 4-game streak just a few weeks ago, and they've looked like the team that we've seen the last 3 years and in the last 2 weeks. So it just depends which team shows up. I definitely think that the Spartans are capable of beating Utah State. I have never been too high on the Aggies this year, so I think it's possible. But I think when you have guys like McElwain and Rector and Jalen Moore, I think that should be enough to beat State. But if you asked me that this was the matchup 3 weeks ago, I would have definitely taken San Jose State.
Because they've played, like, Utah State beat them by six, and they've only played once this year, I want to say. Yeah, one time is at home. It was on the road. So that's one of the losses they've had in the row. And, like, I don't know how Utah State lost to UNLV, but they've been, like, playing close to good teams. Like, they played San Diego State by four, lose to Boise by two, but then they get blown out by CSU or something. Or they, Wyoming on the road by almost, 8 points. Lose to Aztecs on the road by almost 20 points. Yeah, they just had a lot of bad, like lose to Mexico double digits. So I think if you go by just players on the team, I'd go Utah State, but I'm not really confident just because if Moore doesn't have a big game, they're not going to win.
Yeah, and you know how much they like to rely on. This is the guy that gets the ball just as much as anyone in the conference. So if he's not on it, and he'll have a tough matchup against Brandon Clark, he can defend and he can definitely score. So that'll be an intriguing matchup, but I would probably have to go with Utah State.
Yeah, because when they won last time, he only scored 15 points and was 0 for 4 from 3-point range. So, yeah, I'm gonna go Utah State because I think they have more potential to win just because of who's on their team. So that's one game in the books, whatever, one game. I'm trying to look for my schedule again. I think I dropped this. So what's the game number two? What do we got here? These are all games that aren't going to matter after the next day. Wyoming Air Force, Wyoming, sure, why not? I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. Air Force played really well in the tournament last year and the one game that they played against UNLV. So both of these teams are so incredibly instant. They love to shoot the three ball, so anything could happen in that. So I might pick an upset.
Okay,
we'll see.
You pick Air Force. I'm good. I mean, that's fine. That game's at 1:30 Pacific. The game that's going to this, I can almost guarantee this game, San Diego State 6 seed, UNLV 11 seed, will have the biggest crowd of the tournament.
The biggest crowd, really? You think so?
They hate each other so much.
That is true.
I'm going to go out and say this is the biggest rivalry within the conference. These two teams. By far.
I agree with that. I don't know if that'll be the biggest crowd of the tournament.
It's a 4 p.m. Wednesday game, too, so it's a 4 p.m. Well, let's just say it'll be the biggest one of the day by double digits, probably, or double, 50% at least. It could be a sellout, so that's why it'd be one of the most attended games, because even though UNLV's down, they're at home. I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game, but I got to go Aztecs for sure, and because UNLV's just been terrible.
I think San Diego State's going to absolutely blow out UNLV. Even though UNLV is at home, I like STSU. I think Hemsley and Kel can get it figured out.
They should. It's just funny. And then, not funny, but this will be a raucous crowd. So definitely, if you're not heading down there, watch that a little bit to kind of see what's going on, to see what's up there, because there will be back and forth. You could see some shenanigans in the crowd, possibly, of stuff going on in the background. So here's what we have for the next couple of games. We'll kind of go through the tournament setup real quick. Nevada is probably going to play. They're going to win whoever they play. Like, the best matchup's probably for the Utah State, right? Or, I mean, San Jose State. They'd rather play the Spartans, I'm assuming, right?
I would think they'd rather play San Jose State, but they should be able to handle Utah State or San Jose State pretty easily.
And that game's at noon on these next games on Thursday. If you have, like, I think Optimum or Cox Cable, you can stream. But you got to find good old regular or pay TV, CBS Sports Network. So that game's at noon Pacific there. Fresno and New Mexico. This is interesting because we don't know how much Tim Williams is going to play because he just came back for the I should look up how many minutes he played, but he's been gone for, what, a good month or so, right? At least?
Yeah, he missed 9 games. New Mexico really struggled. I did a little bit of a short study, I guess you could call it, New Mexico with and without Tim Williams this year, and their efficiency numbers are just so incredibly off balance with Williams out, so... If he can return and he can play at the level even close to what he was at the start of the year, I think New Mexico has a good shot to at least make some noise in this tournament.
Because when he actually played more minutes, I thought he played 31 in their win over San Diego State. He scored 10 points, 4 of 11, 2 of 6 from, what, 3? No, free throw range there, and 6 rebounds. So first game back, that's not bad. It's a lot of minutes to come back. And he probably could have came back versus Wyoming because he's cleared to practice, I think, that week. I want to say or late that week. Maybe it's the Monday after, but they had a bye. And so I think that's the biggest game could be. I don't know because, like you said, when you look at he's played 21 games out of 30. He's second in the team in scoring at 17.5, so replacing that was a big deal. And nobody else, even during his time off missing 9 games, nobody cracked double digits. Sam Logwood was next closest guy, and he's at 7.5 for the whole season.
That's not going to cut it. But the thing that I have my right now, at least statistically, Fresno State, they're 335th in the country in allowing opponents to get to the free throw line.
Oh, boy.
New Mexico's first in the country at getting to the free throw line.
Yeah,
so
yeah, look
the free throw discrepancy
Williams
is... What's that?
Well, look at Williams and Brown. They always go to the line. They attack.
Yeah. So the free discrepancy, if it's equal to what the numbers say it will be, I think New Mexico could definitely win this game. And even though without looking at that, I would probably take Fresno State because I think Terry does a good job getting his guys ready to play. And we saw that the upsets that they pulled off in the tournament last year, no one really expected any team other than San Diego State to win the tournament. But those numbers, I mean, we know how the Lobos rely on the free throw line, and that's got to be concerning Fresno State. And if you're a Fresno State fan, you see those.
Here's a real quick thing. Just look at their season stats. Tim Williams in free throws, he's still second on the team in free throws made by doubling Sam Logwood, 144 to 78. And then attempts, about 80 more, 253 to 174. And overall, Elijah Brown, do you want to guess how many attempts he has all year?
I couldn't even guess. I could pull up, but
417.
He's probably good for at least 5 or 6 a game.
No, 14 a game average in free. Oh, no, sorry, that's field goals. Oh, geez, wrong one. Sorry. I'm like, wait, that's too high. Sorry, let me rephrase it. Williams is still much higher than Logwood. Here we go. 78 mades to 48 makes compared to Logwood, 112 to 71 attempts. And then there you go. You got 218 for Elijah Brown, doubles Williams.
Wow.
That. And you're probably right in there about 5. If it's divided by 30, what's that 5 a game about?
It's about 5.
Seven,
six,
seven,
six, seven. Yeah.
7 a game. So it's a big deal. That's a potential 5 points a game right there from him. And then add in Williams, who's probably about the same range. That could be 10 point. That's a 10-point swing perhaps if they get to the line that many times. I'm going to go to Mexico because I think they are holding up Williams more than they probably needed to. Just to make sure he's back and game ready. That's why would you stick him in to play 31 minutes if he's just cleared to play?
True.
And so I'm thinking
I'm going to go with. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Like I think he's going to want. He need one game back to get ready, and then defense. Fresno's not as good as San Diego State. They're pretty good, but not as good. And that's where I think he'll play better. And that's why I'm going with the Lobos to actually get a victory. So early congrats, hopefully.
We'll see. You know what? I'm going to take Fresno. I think that New Mexico will keep it close at the free throw line. I just think that Brown or Williams will be inconsistent shooting the ball. And Fresno plays well in the tournament, so I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
Okay, next game really quick. We'll make these kind of quick because we don't know who's really playing. CSU versus probably, I don't know, Wyoming or Air Force. I think they'll have no issue with either team. That's at 6 Pacific time.
I think they'll cruise. I think that should be pretty easy.
And then Boise versus probably San Diego State. That'll be a pretty good game as well. It's a 8:30 tip off there. That's a late one, man. It's a 12. What's that? No, it's a not past midnight yet, but it's almost on the East Coast. But 8:30 local tip. That's probably the game of the day. Boise probably versus Aztecs, right? Fresno, New Mexico should be pretty good, I would think. Hopefully.
You know, the thing about the Boise San Diego State game is it could get ugly pretty fast, just with. The recent games that these teams have played, they've had some pretty atrocious shooting numbers. But, you know, I think San Diego State just has Boise's number. Even though Boise beat them earlier this year, I feel like as long as Kellen Hemsley play up even close to their potential, I know we mention this just about every time the Aztecs take the – it seems to be the trend. I just feel like Boise's a – not it matches up with San Diego State that well, and that's why if these two teams were to match up in the quarterfinals, I'd go with the Aztecs.
All right, so then who would be your semifinal picks? Because that's where we're at now. So, crap, I keep moving away from my bracket here. I keep changing for tabs, looking for things. So semifinal, it's a 7 Pacific, and then, man, 9:30 Pacific. No, I made a mistake earlier. That'd be a 10:30 game for me. Yes, geez. So that's if you're. Like, here's the thing about this. We'll kind of back off because there's tournament bracket stuff, team watch games for NCAAs, and that game would not feature feature Nevada, feature winner between, what's that game, CSU probably in Boise, most likely. Like, do you think these late games matter for committee stuff, or do they watch enough that missing one game in a conference semifinal will matter or not matter?
I don't think it matters that much just because these teams, whether you win or lose, it's not going to impact resume that much. And I know the committee says that they watch all the games, but I mean, how many of these East Coast guys are really going to stitch Colorado State and San Diego State or Boise at
well, that game doesn't matter either, I guess. So.
I guess that's what I'd say.
Are they even watching this tournament, do you think?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. At least Nevada.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking because Nevada's, I think they're getting, I know they don't have any great wins, but I think they're actually getting close to maybe an at-large bid. Maybe.
I still don't buy it, honestly.
I don't. I see them getting close because it would take a lot of chalk to get in there for them to lose and get in because we'll look at that later in a second. I need to pull that up, so let's keep chatting about this. So my semifinal would be, the first one would be, I'd go CSU, Boise, and then I would go New Mexico versus Nevada in the semifinals.
And I'd go with Nevada and Fresno and Colorado State and San Diego State.
We think the Aztecs will do it. So you're in line with team rankings. You like the Aztecs a lot.
Is this what team ranking says?
They have real quick, we'll get to that in a second. But title game, I want to say a rematch, but I don't hear. I'm just gonna do a stupid bench argument, but Nevada plays nobody. You know what I mean? Like they literally play nobody off their bench. I'm thinking it's gonna be Boise versus Nevada in the title game.
I wouldn't be shocked. I have a feeling it's gonna be Nevada San Diego State.
You think the Aztecs can actually do it? But they can actually put games together. Like this would be, they'd be playing one extra game. They'd be playing what, 4 games in 4 days, including if they make this far, they'd be playing the late game and then an early afternoon game then that following day.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick Boise just because I don't think that they, like I said, I don't think that they match up that well against San Diego State and
they don't
Colorado State possibly, but I have a hard time believing that the Aztecs have already reached their potential. I mentioned this a few months ago, but Hemsley and Keller are playing better, and I, with Pope being back and maybe he can produce the way.
But he hasn't. I looked into that, and he hasn't. That's the thing. Like I looked into, like, okay, when he's been back, he's scoring single digits. Sometimes he's not playing extremely well. So it's, I was looking like, all right, what's going to happen? What's he been doing once he's been back? And both them and Boise have been inconsistent. San Diego State's lost 3 of 4. They have won 4 of 7. That's not great. Where Boise's about the same thing, where they basically have won every other game in the past six games. They lost to New Mexico. They beat Air Force. They won 4 in a row. Then they go with loss, win, loss, win, loss, win to end the season. And so neither are consistent. So it's like, I think with the Boise, it's going to come down. Like, we know Nick Duncan or Hutchinson, he needs to score a lot of points. Duncan needs to be consistent from three-point range. And I think Duncan's a guy, when it comes down to it, like I've seen him down there before when Boise made their run a couple years ago. He's a guy, like, I think tournament time, he'll step up, and that's where I'm thinking he'll be the difference for why Boise will move on, at least to the title game.
Yeah, it's possible because we've seen Duncan go off in four, but I don't know. I don't even know if I have that much of a valid reason I want to take SDSU. I think that Colorado State and Boise State just relies so much on Duncan, Hutchison, and then for CSU with Lavelle the other night. If one of those guys has an off night, and we've seen it with this conference throughout the year, that we never know what's going to happen. I think San Diego State game's relatively low scoring if their defense can step up a little bit, and that's why I think that even despite the fact that they're a 6 seed and have to play 4 games in 4 days, if they do reach the final, I think they're still dangerous.
Okay. No, I don't think they're not. Like, I'm looking at ESPN, they had a Giant Killers article up on March 1st. They put them in, I'm not sure how they rank it, but they give them a 9.6% chance to be an above average Giant team. So it's basically a 10% chance to probably win the conference, I'm assuming, right around there maybe.
I have no idea how they do those formulas.
Because
I really agree with them, and sometimes I have no idea where they get this information.
Because the very first one, it's UNC Wilmington given the highest percentage. This is before tourney stuff. Their rating, 25.3, meaning estimated 25.3% chance to beat an average Giant. What's a Giant? Tell us that.
I believe that's a top 4 seed.
Okay.
Or so maybe top 5 seed.
Be nice if they would say that, but they
they just already know.
They probably did in one of the, I know they did, they used to do this only tournament, like once the tournament was over, but I think they've been doing it like maybe once a week, every other week throughout the year. But they're on this list. But then also, really quick, I'm going to go Nevada. Are you going Nevada to win the tourney, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And you know what that gets us if they win the tournament, right?
What's that, 12 seed?
Well, not that. Coach Musselman said yesterday, or Monday, if his team wins the conference tournament, gets the automatic bid, he will do his I'm not sure if it's post-game, probably post-game, I'm assuming, press conference after the tournament without a shirtless again. We'll have another shirtless Musselman.
Now, what would happen if these guys won a tournament game?
How could you get higher than that if they blow off an upset? So I'm hoping. I am hoping they come to Salt Lake, because if there's a whoever wins a tournament, if they're coming to Salt Lake, I'm going to get Pat credentials to be at the game. Hoping somehow they make their way out west. They probably won't, because if they're 11 to, they're probably obviously 11 to 13 seed in that range, probably 12. There's a chance if the 5 seeds like Is there any 5 seed out west really you could think of? St. Mary's maybe? Would they be a 5 seed?
So I have St. Mary's as a 6 right now, and the way it works out, their pod would be playing against a 3 seed. So it's wherever the location of the 3 seed wants to go.
That's right.
And in that case, it would be Duke. So as of my bracket this morning, I have Nevada listed as a 12 seed playing against Notre Dame, and that game's in Orlando. So that's basically as far away as we could possibly want it.
For almost either teams.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Oh, man. I'm just hoping, maybe somehow, come on, get him to town, because that'd be great. So I don't know what he would do. I don't know how he topped that, because he went shirtless after the title game, running around, going crazy. I put the him versus Jim Harbaugh. One thing we do know, Harbaugh needs a tan. Musselman isn't as a small guy. He's just not very tall.
Man, yeah, here's one more scenario that could potentially get Nevada into Salt Lake City, and that's if Arizona somehow slips to a 4. Maybe they lose their first game in the Pac-12 tournament. I don't read their plane.
They're the 2 seed, right?
What's that?
They're the 2 seed, right?
Right now, I have them as a 3 seed.
No, I mean in the Pac-12. They're a 2 seed,
right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Oregon, right. Then they would play not Utah's the 4 seed. I'll look it up while you keep going.
Okay, so right now I have Arizona and Salt Lake against East Tennessee State. Arizona's, the way that their geography works out, I guess, with these tournament locations, is they're most likely slotted to go to Salt Lake City. And if they do, then the opposite side of the bracket would be 6 versus 11 seed, and Arizona itself would be playing a 14 seed. But in the case that they move down to a 4 seed, then that would match them up against a 13. So if somehow Nevada could end up being a 13 seed, I want to say I have the Wolfpack as my last 12 right now. Yeah, they're my last 12 right now, and Vermont's my first 13. So if Nevada slips to a 13 seed, Arizona goes down to a 4 seed, then you could potentially see Nevada and Salt Lake. But like, there's so many different things that have to fall into place, and a lot can happen over the next few days. And that's just assuming Nevada even wins the conference tournament. So yeah,
here's really quick Pac-12. Arizona is a 2 seed, as we know. They probably they'll play the winner between Colorado and Washington State. I'm assuming Colorado will win that. And then
you'd think,
but then I'm thinking UCLA is a 3. They could play. They could lose in the quarters to, or the semis to a UCLA maybe. And that might, could that drop them down maybe if they lose to UCLA?
I don't think that would drop them down. That would be a loss against a pretty good team. But if they lose to Washington State, which probably would not happen, but the committee's been kind of strange recently with where they slot Pac-12 teams. I remember last year, Brackets had California slotted as a 6 seed.
Whoops.
As their composite, and California ended up as the first or second 4 seed. You never know. We could probably see Arizona anywhere between a 2 and a 4 seed, but that could possibly place Nevada and Salt Lake.
Let me ask you a selfish question. Is the University of Utah going to be an at-large bid?
No.
What if they beat Oregon?
No.
Does they need to win to get in?
I would think.
So you're telling me there's only 3 Pac-12 teams getting in then, right? Because they're the 4 seed.
I actually have USC getting in.
Who? Sorry, who'd you say? USC?
USC, but I'm higher on the Trojans than a lot of other people. I think I have them 1 seed higher, but
I'm not saying Utah's any good, but I'm just wondering because they got a decent seed in the tournament.
Yeah, that is true. I would think at the very least they'd have to go to the Pac-12 final.
Do not lose to Oregon State. That's your answer. That if they would have beaten them, that may have made a difference. They could play them. They play the winner between Cal and Oregon State, and they beat Cal last week. They crushed them at home, so that's interesting.
I don't know how you blow out State and then I don't know how you lose Oregon State and then blow out Cal, but that's just Pac-12 basketball, I guess.
All right, so let's. So we got our title. So I have Nevada versus Boise. You have Nevada, San Diego State. Nevada winning, right? You said.
Oh yeah, easily, yeah.
So what would be like your? We do our stupid upset picks for stuff for football, and I did one for the. Hey, go listen to our March Fatness podcast. It's entertaining and awesome. So go check that out if you like 1990s one hit wonder songs. So you can listen to me try to play songs through my phone on the show. So what,
that was fun.
What would be? We'll get to the percentages really quick because probably wrap this up so people can listen soon. If I were going to say like kind of off the wall tournament final, I probably would stick San Diego State in there. I like New Mexico a lot. So I would go, I think I'd put New Mexico in the title game. Because I think they, like, that duo, Williams and Bryant or Brown, maybe you could tell me if I'm way off the wall, but they're probably comparable to Nevada's top two players, right? As the best duo in the league when they're playing at their best.
When they're playing at their best, but their problem is inconsistency. And I might, you know, I might even go Amagwu and Clavel before Brown and Williams, okay. But any of three teams, those duos are pretty awesome. So New Mexico's got a good team.
If I'm going crazy, I'd go New Mexico in the finals. It's hard for me to pick the Aztecs because they're playing the extra game, but that's, they're not like they're old guys, but still it's tough. If you play that many games in that many days and it's whatever, I think I would go, because if New Mexico wins, they would play the first semi verse, and that means I'd have them beat in Nevada, which would be tough. That would knock Nevada out for sure of anything. They'd be heading to NIT and hosting the game probably as like a 2 seed, maybe 3 seed. And then I would probably go New Mexico Boise. I like San Diego State, but I just don't think they can win 4 games in 4 days. I'd go New Mexico. I think New Mexico can win the whole thing if they play to what I think they can play. So I'd put them over Boise State as kind of my stupid upset title game pick.
So do you want me to make like a crazy
title game,
or just like one upset in general?
No, go for a crazy title game. With the way the league's played, like CSU's beaten everybody above them except for twice, I believe, when they lost to Nevada and I forget who else, like, but they played pretty well. So like what would be a off, basically a non-Nevada winner, essentially, a non-Nevada title game. Who would you pick to be in the title game outside of them and maybe CSU?
So if it wasn't Nevada, I would definitely go Fresno. Just because they've been there and done that, and they have different scoring options. I think they have 5 guys in double figures, so that definitely helps a lot if one of your guys has an off night. So I'd probably go Fresno against maybe Boise. I think Fresno-Boise would be an entertaining final, and I think that's possible if the Broncos can heat up. Both of those teams have a lot of offensive options that can help out.
And like this league, it's like I said, everybody beats everybody, so it's probably one of the more entertaining tournaments to watch. So obviously, if you're listening to this, tune into that stuff because they're like games to watch. Like I'm not going to rank games and everything, that takes forever, but I think Fresno-New Mexico is going to be really exciting. I could see Boise SDSU because of the history, but I think the semifinal games, if you're able to watch them, or even heck, DVR the final game, watch fast forward in the morning to watch like maybe second half or something, because that would be what could be Boise CSU. But let's see, let's do this real quick. You did some like stuff to watch, X Factor stuff. Like who's your, my player apparently, which since I'm already in love with Lobos, it's if Tim Williams plays great, New Mexico will go far. I think him and also Nick Duncan of Boise, if he shoots well at 3-point range, both those teams will go far in the tournament. Obviously, that's part of the reason why I think that could be a potential title game.
I think it's possible. Both those teams can heat up. There was one other thing I was going to mention about this bracket real quick. One of the main reasons why I've kind of steered away from Nevada-Colorado State final, and I do think those are easily the two best teams in this conference this year. I think most would agree with that. But just with the way that this conference has played out the last 2-3 months, how often do we see the first and second best teams, you know, play against each other? I can't seem to imagine with how crazy this league has been that the 1 and 2 seed meet in the final. And conference tournaments have already been crazy, as we mentioned, already five spots have been taken the NIT. So, there's a tournament game that's play tonight where the seeds of the final teams combine for either 11 or 12. I think it's like a 6 seed against a 5 seed or 7 against a 4 seed. So that's pretty much the only reason. I think the Rams are a great team, but just the likelihood of a 1 versus 2, I don't know how possible that is.
And also really quick, out of the conference tournament history, only 3 1-seeds have won the whole thing.
Wow. I didn't know
that. Muscleman was mentioned that earlier, and I was looking around like, yeah, Drew, I'm looking right now. I'm like, winners like you had Fresno wasn't a 1 seed, Wyoming wasn't a 1 seed the past 2 years. New Mexico won 3 years in a row. I don't think they were 1 seed. I wish they had it put up better. They don't. I wish they had it by seed, like the seed. I'm looking on Wiki for the seed of that team, but yeah, because even in 2011, did San Diego State, who won in the Mountain West? BYU or San Diego State? It was BYU, right, with Jimmer, right?
I think it was BYU.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but they were in the final and lost that game. Because I remember that big game in CBS, Jimmer dropped like 50 and 1 at home or something.
Yeah.
game was nuts. But I wish they had the seeding there. But UNLV doesn't make the finals as often as people think. They do more often, but not because finals appearance actually San Diego State with 9, UNLV 8. So I wish I had a bit more information on here. But it's San Diego State, does, like your point of them playing well, is good. And New Mexico has the third best record of current Mountain West teams in the tournament of winning, going 16-12.
It's so wide open. We've seen that in recent years with Wyoming coming out of nowhere and Boise showing up, and then you have Fresno State last year upsetting San Diego State. So it's a wide open tournament, even more so with how this season's played out.
Also, really quick, Nevada's never won a conference tournament game, and the Aztecs would set a record if they were to go to the title game of 4 in a row. No team in the conference has gone to 4 championship games in a row.
Crazy.
UNLV went to 3 back in the, when it was in, well, yeah, 2002. One of the years was in Denver. So they've gone to 4 or 5 title games. Or actually, no, Aztecs, they've gone to every title game except for 2013. So since 2010 till now, they've been in every title game but one.
Maybe
you're onto something there.
Picking the streak this year? I don't know. I didn't know about those stats, but yeah, you never know.
I just pulled up Wiki. It's like, there you go. It's right here. And then, yeah, geez, since 09, sorry. They lost to Utah in 2009. Jeez. Well, they're very good at the team. So let's look at some percentages really quick before I wrap this thing up. So we have the two things I look at. I got KenPom, which I had up here, and then TeamRankings.com. They're more of a gambling site. So I don't know exactly how they configure, but there's some mathematical formula, I'm assuming. And their rankings, they have, I put an article on, they're the second best rankings to win the whole thing. And it's close, though. It's not like it's out of the, because Nevada's a clear favorite. Here's on team rankings, they have 38% for Nevada, 6-seeded Aztecs at 13.77, Boise next at 13.10, and then CSU at 10.72. What? But here's another little odd thing as well. To get to the semifinals, they're 6th, as for percentages. And to get to championship game, they are 1, 2, 3, 4th. Where?
That's strange. Huh. I don't know. I think mentioned that maybe the podcast or the one before, that maybe this site, I don't know how they run their formulas, but maybe they combine prior history or maybe what the preseason rankings suggested, but you're saying more than 1 in 10 times the Aztecs win it all, win 4 games in 4 days?
More than that, 13%.
Yeah, that's a little surprising, but we have Nevada as a clear favorite, I think we can all agree, mm-hmm. And then Colorado State, Boise State, Fresno, and San Diego State all pretty far behind, but pretty equal. I think that makes sense. It makes sense.
It's just that maybe it is past history. They don't really clarify. Then KenPom is all statistical stuff. They have it more almost basically conference order, where you have the only change out of the top four. Excuse me. It's almost the same, like 35% for Nevada. Then you got number 2 CSU, Boise, Fresno. Then Aztecs go from 5 to 6. Only other change is UNLV up 1 over Air Force. And their overall.
Do you think that's probably more accurate?
I would say so, because they give Aztecs a 10% chance overall, 10.7, and then I might put Aztecs over Fresno, maybe, but it's like 0.3% difference he has here.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, yeah, it's just, I'll look at that stuff. Like, we'll update this to probably, I'll probably do both every day. It's kind of here because they update. Does KenPom update every day, or they just do a one and done thing?
They update every game, so they'll preview like UNLV against San Diego State, what the percentage is for that.
I mean, they'll recalculate the next round, like whoever's left, right?
I don't know if they'll calculate it for, like, say if Nevada beats Utah State, I don't know if they'll calculate what Nevada's percent chance of winning the tournament is, but they'll definitely calculate what their percent chance of winning their next game is.
We'll see. Okay, we'll look at that. I know Team Rankings does the whole, they like every round they update it. So there's upsets, whatever, they go through there. So we'll keep track of that every day when we do our schedule and stuff. So check out for all that stuff. And one question we did have, I think we had 2, but I only have 1 remembered. Who has the easiest path to a tournament? Is there an easy path the way this league goes on?
Someone mentioned to me, I don't remember who it was or which team, which is too bad because it was a good stat, but he mentioned one of the teams had beaten every team in their side of the bracket at least once.
Was it CSU, maybe?
It might have been. No, because CSU lost to Boise State both times. It wasn't them.
Nevada, then, I
I
guess.
don't.
Has to be
It's
Nevada,
got to
then.
be the bottom bracket, though.
Oh, Boise, then? Did Boise beat CSU twice?
They did, and they beat San Jose State. They beat Wyoming. Yeah, I think it's Boise, actually.
I think the bottom half's easier.
Definitely.
Because I think Nevada, like, there's people might say, oh, it's tougher because you got to play maybe New Mexico. Because I think that's a team that if they're playing well, they're good. And Utah State would more can light it up and put a scare in any team. I would say the easiest would probably be CSU because Wyoming Air Force, not that difficult. And then I'll just say the bottom half. No one, because once you get to semifinals, everybody's usually pretty good unless somehow UNLV sneaks in, or you know what I mean, or there's an upset.
Yeah, I would definitely have to go with CSU. Their first game will be extremely winnable, and I think they match up fairly well against the Aztecs and Broncos. So they're almost, I wouldn't say that they're a gimme to get into the final, even though I didn't even pick them to get to the final. But to go to the
Semis.
semifinal, definitely,
Yeah.
I think they should be able to.
And then I think Nevada's toughest because, like I said, Utah State, Jalen Moore, what he can do, and they've played, like, he'll play scorers. Like, when Nevada plays, they have whoever their opponent is, they have a legit scorer can put up 30 minimum on that side. So there'll be tough, and we'll see it happen. So that's our almost an hour right now. Couldn't even stretch this thing out to get going and get things working on. So we'll have stuff like, here's our kind of a plan. And also, real quick, Musselman kind of said that the league he needs to win, but he's just concentrating on winning and not necessarily saying he's basically like every mid-major, feel like you've had a great year like we have, and somebody at 500 major conference doesn't make sense to him to leave out a great team from like the Mountain West, the A10 or whatever conference, your West Coast, you know what I mean, West Coast or something like that, or Missouri Valley, because like Illinois State, they're a bubble team. Wow, they're not gonna get in. But
Yeah,
stupid.
there are at
Wait
least
for
two or three of those teams every single year that gets
Monmouth.
left out that probably should be in the tournament, and I don't know, it could be Nevada this year. We'll see.
It's just wait for Gary Parrish to put out this thing about top 50 wins and how it's stupid. Or listen to their podcast as well, because I like their show with Matt Norlander, Parrish, and I think it's just them two right now. I haven't listened in a couple weeks, but
Yeah, those guys are fantastic.
yeah.
They
I always
know their
listen to
stuff.
Tournament Time because they have great stories, so it's always fun to do as
Yeah,
well.
yeah.
I don't listen all year, every now and then I do, but during like Tournament Time, like this week, and probably maybe if Matt comes to town, I know him a little bit, maybe we can figure something out to help mess around with him or do something. But that's a fun podcast as well, CBS College Sports. Parrish is entertaining because he's a radio guy for his main job too, and TV, so he knows what he's doing. But that's our stuff for today. So here's what the kind of plan is. Real quick, we'll keep an eye on NIT stuff as well because that'll change probably daily. With all the at-large or automatic skating, I'm assuming it might be only three teams because right now they updated last night, NYC Buckets, where you want to go. They have refresh. Come on. Come on. San Diego State out. They have Fresno, Boise State, and CSU, and I think, if I'm correct, are those the only ones?
Yeah, Fresno's a 6, Colorado State's a 5, Boise's a 3,
Aztecs
and
out, and
that is
no.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that could shrink up. Last year, there's 11, but at this point right now, there's no other smaller conferences outside the Mountain West. Well, they wouldn't really steal a bid. They'd just, you know, well, I guess Nevada would be still in a bid if they get here, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, that would definitely be stealing a bid.
But no other conference, like there's no other smaller conferences really going on as of probably tomorrow, right?
You mean like as big
One
as
bid
Mountain
lead,
West?
yeah, like one big lead, like A10 or a couple bid team, well, whatever. There's not many more of those, like Monmouth getting a bid or Oakland or something like that. So,
Yeah, I wouldn't expect any of those conferences to get another. I'd be
CUSA,
surprised, and if they were,
MAC or
they'd be a
CU,
deep
MAC or
seed.
CUSA maybe. Middle Tennessee State's a bubble team, so we'll see how they get in. MAC, they try to make a case for two, but I don't see two in that league either. So, all right, so that's our stuff for today. So we'll get this up quickly, hopefully Tuesday early. Hey, if you're driving home and you're listening to this, let us know, because that'd be pretty cool if it's up by then. But we will have, like I said, you can stream all the first games on Wednesday. Every day we're going to have a schedule, we'll have a score update. So keep checking back. We'll do more tweeting than normal first hoops, because I know it's been less this year for basketball tweets. I was in the hospital for a month. Come on, what gives? I can't watch every
What
game.
gives?
But all these
That's
games
right.
like this, so keep an eye out for that stuff. So, and follow you as well, because you're going to update your bracket probably every day this week, right?
I'm going to try to. We'll see. Man, I was up late last night working on this stuff
Stuff.
when I printed out the whole packet of official NCAA rules and stuff, and oh gosh, it's like putting a puzzle together. It's such crazy.
Man, it makes it worth it. Hopefully people will click and read. So that give incentive to read his bracket stuff, what he puts out there, and follow him on Twitter. But check us out, mwcconnection.com. We will most likely do a podcast Sunday after the tournament stuff is out. Is that a good plan?
That should work. Yeah, we'll figure out a time.
We'll just go soft air. Maybe we'll do two, a tournament recap and that as well, but we'll see. But yeah, thanks for listening, and it's tournament time, and it's now, I guess it's the time to really watch basketball harder if you're not. But yeah, hey, thanks for everybody listening, and again, download Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, give us a review. Again, 5 stars, but tell us how you really feel, because that helps us out, even if it's terrible. And yeah, just keep looking for that stuff, and we'll see you next time, man. Go Hoops.